This is the Daf Yomi Masechta Review, Masechta Baba Basra, Tape Number 6.
For subscription information, write us at Daf Yomi Tapes, P.O. Box 831, Muncie, New York, 10952, or call 1-888-DAF-YOMI.
Our Magid Shia is Rabbi Yossi Heber.
Masechta Baba Basra, we're in the middle of Perek Yesh Neichlin, from the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Lamed. Before we continue here, let's just briefly review the essence of the halachas of Yerusha. We know that if a father dies, the first line of inheritance is a son. And the Yerusha would then go downward from there. So if there isn't a son, if the son has a son, i.e. the person who is nifter has a grandson, the grandson will yarshin. And if he was nifter, then his son will yarshin. So the Yerusha would go from son down to grandson, down to great-grandson, down to great-great-grandson, and so on, until somebody can be found somewhere down the line of Yerusha of the son. If there is no son, or there are no sons, then the Yerusha could go down to the daughters, and then again it goes down from daughter to granddaughter to great-granddaughter, and so on and so forth. If all of that doesn't exist, then the rights to the Yerusha go up one generation, i.e. it goes up one to the father of the person who was nifter. And from there it goes back down again. So it would go, for example, to the brothers of the person who was nifter. It goes up to the father, then it goes back down, and then from there it goes down, 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 and so on and so forth. And that's basically how Yerusha works. First it goes down as far as it can go. If there is no down, then it goes up one generation, and again comes back down until it can find someone to take it from there. And that's basically how Yerusha works. Now let's begin with the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Lamed. If a man says, instead of my daughter, my brother should inherit, or instead of my son, my daughter should yarshin, we don't listen to him, because he was masna al masha kasev batayra. We know that according to the Torah, really the son should have the first right to it before the daughter does. Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika says, as long as he gives the Yerusha to someone who's at least somewhere in line to inherit, we do listen to him. But if he designates a total outsider, then we don't listen to him. And the Gemara says, the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika, and the father can designate who he wants to get the Yerusha, as long as that person has some rights to Yerusha of his property. You can't learn a halacha l'maisa from your Rebbe via a maisa, but only if he mamish says, this is the halacha l'maisa. And if you want to learn what makes a liver treif, you can't learn it from looking at a kidney. Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph. We paskin that sons cannot take from nechasim mishubadim for the ksuba of their mother, which is called a ksuba benindichrin. This is a halacha of Bezdin. If a father didn't specifically write that his daughters get to stay in his house and eat mezainis, they get this right anyways, since this is a tanai Bezdin. It was a takana of Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria in Yavna that sons get Yerusha and daughters get mezainis. If someone on his deathbed, a shchiv mera, writes over all of his property to his wife, we assume that he really wants to give his children part of the Yerusha, but he's just making his wife an apitropos, an administrator for all of his property, so they'll be mechaber. The same halacha would apply if he gave all of his property to the oldest son, since he'll want them to be mechaber him. Daf Kuf Lamed Beis. If a son goes overseas and the father heard that he died, so he wrote over his nechasim to others, and then the son returned alive, the chachamim say the matana to others is valid. Rabbi Shimon ben Anasi says, this gift is batal automatically, because if he would have known his son is alive, he wouldn't have given over his Yerusha property to other people. And the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, and we go after the umdana, which is what, that's what he really meant. A shchiv mera said that half of my Yerusha should go to my daughter, daughter number A, and half of my Yerusha to daughter B, and one third of all peres should go to my wife, but no land should go to my wife. Rav says, as long as she got this, she's meichel on her ksuba. Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel. Just because in a divided property, a wife is shaisik, does not necessarily mean that she's meichel on her ksuba. And finally, if a shchiv mera wrote up all of his property for a person, but he didn't specify if it's a Yerusha or a Matana, so if this person is ro'oi to Yarshin, he takes it mitam Yerusha. If he's not, he takes it mitam Matana. The Mishnah. If the father writes all of his property to a stranger and leaves nothing for his kids, what he did was legal. But the Chachamim are not happy, since he was oiker the Nachla Midaraisa, which is i.e. for his children. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, if his sons aren't Erlach, then he did good. Actually, it's not even bad, but he actually did good. Gemara. The Rabbanan Achalek on Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says it's possible even if his children are Rishayim, his grandchildren will be Tzadikim. So he shouldn't cut off a child who is a Rasha from his Yerusha, because maybe the grandchildren will be Tzadikim. Finally, one shouldn't take Nachla from a bad son and give it to a good son, or take Nachla from a son and give it to a daughter. Tafkuf Lamedalot. There was a Maisa in Beis Chayrin where a father couldn't get Hana from a son because of a neder, of a shvua, a neder that he had made. And the son was making a chasana, and he wanted to invite his father to the chasana. So he gave over the hall to his friend. And the Chachamim said, if the matana wasn't given with a full heart, and he doesn't allow the receiver to be makdishit, then it is not considered a valid matana. Hillel HaZaken had 80 talmidim. 30 were ro'i for the Shekhinah to rest on them, just like Moshe Rabbeinu. But the generation wasn't ro'i. The greatest of these talmidim was Rabbi Yonasan ben Uziel, and the smallest was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And even he knew all of Mishnah and Gemara, all gematrias, and all conversations of the Shadim. When he learned Torah, when Rabbi Yonasan ben Uziel learned Torah, any bird that flew above him would burn. The Mishnah. If Reuven says on someone else, "This is my son," we believe him. And Reuven's wife is putter from Yibum, because we know that there is no halacha of Yibum as long as there is a son. If Reuven said, "He's my brother," this brother cannot get a full chelik of Nachla as a brother. But he can get a chunk of Reuven's inheritance from their common father. In other words, because if he's my brother, that means the other brothers now will lose a piece of their Nachla, because now there's an extra brother there who gets a chelek. That you can't have. But Reuven himself can say, well, if he was one that said this other guy is my brother, then Reuven can give up a chunk of his land, his particular chelek, in order to give this new brother a piece of the father's inheritance. Gemara. He isn't believed to say he's my brother, to be mechayev his wife, to be zokok liyibam, since this is bad for her. A man is only believed to say he's divorced mikan ulahaba, but not lamafreya, not retroactively. But if he says, I divorced her 30 days ago, do we say palginin dibura and believe the half that he's divorced, at least from today, but we don't believe the historical part or not? This is a machlekes. If Reuven and Shimon are known to be brothers, and Reuven says that Levi is a brother as well, then Reuven, because of his own admission, must allocate Levi a part of his share in his father's inheritance. Shimon, however, who says he knows nothing about Levi, receives his full share of the father's inheritance and doesn't have to give Levi anything, as we mentioned in the Mishnah. When Levi dies, his estate is equally divided between Reuven and Shimon. Reuven does not inherit Levi's entire estate, because Reuven admits that they are all three brothers and that Shimon is entitled to an equal share along with him. The Gemara explains that this halacha is true only if Shimon never categorically denied being related to Levi, i.e. he merely said that he just didn't know, and he had no knowledge as to whether to Levi was his brother or not. The Gemara says, however, that if Shimon flatly maintained that Levi is definitely not his brother, then, by his own admission, he does not deserve to be included in Levi's inheritance. The next mission here on Daf Kuf Lamed Hei. If someone dies and they found a will attached to his leg, it's no good, since Ein Shtar Lachar Misa. But if he gave the shtar to someone before his death, it is chal, since this is just as good as a verbal declaration, where we say that it's chal after his death. When a person is sitting on his deathbed, a verbal declaration is good, because we say divrei shchiv mera kiksuvim ukimesurim dami. The Gemara. Nachman holds ein shtar lachar misa, and also, if a shchiv mera writes a second shtar, it cancels the first shtar. Daf kuf lamed vav, the Mishnah. If someone wants to write his property to go to the children of his first marriage, i.e. he's getting married a second time, and he doesn't want everything to go to his second wife and children. In the meantime, he wants to enjoy his peiros now. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, he must write, I'm giving it to you mehayoyim and la'achar misa. So the goof of the land goes to them now, but the peiros he keeps. He can't write just la'achar misa, because ain kinyan la'achar misa. Rabbi Yossi says, it isn't necessary for him to say mehayoyim. If the father does this, then he cannot sell it because the guf continues to belong to the son. Gemara. Why is the shtar good? By get we say, if he says, mehayoyim ulachar misa, we say it's a suffix, and maybe it's no good. Gemara answers, There it's a suffix if he changed his mind. Here it's just a split between the Gufa Karka and the Paris, as we said before. Rav says the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, and you don't need to write Mehayoyim, since the shtar itself is Mechiach via the date that's written on the shtar. If a father writes a shtar that he gives his property to his son after his death, i.e. the guf of the property today, the paris later on, what happens if the son sold the guf while the father was alive, and then the son dies first? Rabbi Yochanan says, the buyer gets nothing, since we say kinyan paris ke kinyan haguf. So since the father owns the paris, he's the main bialim, so the father keeps everything. Reish Lakish says, the buyer gets everything, since kinyan paris lav ke kinyan haguf. If a man says, when I die, Reuven should be kinyan my property, when Reuven dies, it should go to Shimon. When Shimon dies, it should go to Levi. So when Reuven dies, it goes to Shimon, and so on and so forth. But if Shimon died while Reuven is alive, and then Reuven dies, it goes to the kids of Reuven, not to Levi, since it's never got to Shimon at all. Hence, Levi isn't connected to the whole thing, because if it never got to Shimon, it can't possibly get to Levi. Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin. A matnas shchiv mira is only chal after the person who gave the gift dies, not before. If a man says, if I die from my sickness, this get should be chal, it's no good, since we say ein get la'achar misa. If a man says, this esrog is yours b'matana, but if you die, it should go to Pliny. If man A made a bracha on it, it's a machlekes if he's yoytze the mitzvah of dalad minim. According to Rabbi, he is not yoytze, since he only owns the peris, not the guf. According to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, he is yoytze, since he also owns the guf as well, since we say kinyan peris ke kinyan haguf. Rava says, if a man says, this esrog is yours on the condition you return it to me, and he took it and made a bracha of al netilas lulav, if he returned it to the other person, i.e. took the esrog and lulav and returned it to the other person, he's yoytze the mitzvah, since he did what he was supposed to do. But if he doesn't return it, then he's not yoytze. From here we learn that a matana al manas lahachzir is considered a good matana. Kutras al-Hadaf says that although for the mitzvah of esrog on the first day of Sukkot, the Torah requires a person to use his own esrog, because it says lochem, and he can't use a borrowed esrog, this esrog is considered as though it belongs entirely to Shimon, while he has it in his possession, despite the fact that it is destined to eventually go to Levi, because here we have a case of matana al manas lahachzir. As we mentioned here in the Gemara, a person must have his own esrog on the first day of Sukkot. The Gemara, however, says that if one doesn't have an esrog, he can use his friend's esrog if his friend grants it to him as a gift. Even if the friend stipulates that he is gifting the esrog on the condition that it is immediately returned, it is legally considered a valid gift. The recipient fulfills the mitzvah as long as he satisfies the condition and returns the esrog after using it. The Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, says, however, that one should not employ this method using a katan, using someone who is below the age of bar mitzvah, because while a katan has the power to be kaina the esrog, he does not have the power to be makna the esrog, i.e. to give it to someone else. Thus, if the katan were to acquire the esrog, he can no longer legally give it back to its owner, and the owner therefore cannot use the esrog to fulfill his mitzvah on the first day of Sukkot, or on the first 2 days in Chutz Laretz. Finally, if someone, the Gemara says, gives a gift to his friend, and the friend refuses to take it, he still is kainet. Bechanet says he's not kainet. Daf Kuf Lamed Ches. A Shchiv Meira said, give 200 zuzim to Reuven, 300 to Shimon, and 400 to Levi. We assume his kavana is to give it to all three at the same time. So if a Bal Chayiv comes after his death, he gets to collect from all three of them. However, if the person when he gave the gift says, 200 zuzim to Reuven, and 300 zuzim to Shimon, later on, the achrav, 300 zuzim to Shimon, so the Baal Chayv would collect all from Shimon, because that was the last shibud. We paskin that Bezin can give a psak on the case of Yibum and Mian, even if they don't know the people involved, but they must check out all of the facts. The Mishnah. If a father wrote up his property for his son after his death, i.e. the karka goes now to the son, but Paris he gets to keep, he can give away Paris now to whoever he wants. But once he dies, the Paris go to the Arshim. Daf Kuf Lamed Tes, the Mishnah. If a father died leaving older and younger children, even though the clothing expenses of the older kids are higher, and the food expenses of the younger kids are higher, they can't receive one at the expense of the other. Rather, the Yerusha is split equally for each child, and they pay for expenses out of their own chelik. When sons Yarshin, and there are daughters, these daughters can get mezainis at the expense of the sons. Gemara. If older children got married while the father was alive, and he gave them an expensive chasana, and after he dies the younger children said, we also want a fancy chasana, the older children are not mechuyev to fund it, but rather they only get their fair chelik of the Yerusha, but nothing extra to pay for a fancy chasana. If, of course, they want to pay for a fancy chasana out of their chelik, they can do that, but they don't get anything extra in order to do that. If a man dies and leaves a wife and a daughter, the almana gets mezainis from the estate. Normally, property goes back to its original owner in Yovel, the 50th year. There are some exceptions, however. For example, the chelik of the bechor from the estate does not go back, and if someone yarshins property from his wife, it also doesn't go back. Finally, if a woman sells her nichse melug, property where a husband has kinyan peris, but she has kinyan aguf, and then she died, the husband can go to the lekuchais and take back the property. This marks the end of this perek. Now let's begin perek tes, misha meis, from the Mishnah. If someone dies and leaves sons and daughters, if the Yerusha is plentiful, the sons get the Yerusha, and the daughters get mezainis. If there is only a bit of property, the daughters still get mezainis, but the sons have to go begging, and they get nothing. Rabbi Gamliel says that the sons share the mezainis with the daughters. Gemara. If the Yerusha can last for at least 12 months, then it's called a plentiful Yerusha. Daf Kuf Mem. If Yosaimim sold property before they went to Bezdin, even by Nechasim Muatim, their sale is considered valid. The Gemara says the Almana also gets mezainis as well, but if there's only enough mezainis for either the daughter or the Almana has Kadima, the Mishnah. If the father dies leaving one son, one daughter, and a tumtum, tumtum is a suffix zachar, suffix nekeva. If there's a lot of property, the sons get the Yerusha, and the tumtum must prove he's a zachar in order to get the Yerusha, i.e. to get mezainis like the bonis. If there's only a bit of property, so that's the case where the daughters really get the better deal, because the sons get nothing and they get the mezainis, they can push him away and make him prove he's in a keva, or he'll get nothing. If the only Yerush is a tumtum, he gets the entire Yerusha. Gemara. Shimon ben Gamliel says that a tumtum isn't either a zachar or an akeva, but rather is considered a bria bifnei atzmai. Daf kuf mem aleph. Whoever dies and does not leave a son, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at him, since if the daughter yarshins it, it will transfer outside of the shevet. The Gemara says a daughter is better when you're dealing with the firstborn. It's better to have a daughter than to have a son. As Rav Chisda says, Bast tchila simen yafe labanim. When a daughter is the first child in a family, it's a good sign for the sons who are born after her. One pshat is that it's a simen yafe labanim. If you have a daughter first, it's a good simen that daughters will be born after that. Another pshat is that it's a simen yafe for the banim, since once she's born, she'll help raise her little brothers. A third pshat is that she'll prevent an ayin hara from happening. The Marsha explains that the envy which the older sister wards off is not the envy of a large family of boys, but rather the envy that brothers and others are likely to have towards their oldest brother, the Bechor, upon being awarded a pishnayim in the inheritance when their father is nifter. Understandably, having a girl ensures against this problem, because the subsequent son is not considered a Bechor, and therefore all the sons in this family will receive an equal share of inheritance and will have no reasons to fight, because there's no more Bechor. So that's why it's a simen yafe labanim. Reb Chisda says, to me, daughters are preferable over a son. In Kuntras al Hadaf, they bring Taisvis, who explains that Reb Chisda's son-in-laws were the leading Talmidei Chacham of the generation, and he therefore considered himself fortunate to have daughters, since they brought him such worthy son-in-laws. The Sefer Ben Yayada explains Reb Chisda's two successive statements as follows. He says that Reb Chisda initially stated that having a daughter first is a simen yafe labanim, a good sign for the sons, the implication being that having a girl first is good for her brothers, but not necessarily good for the father. The reason is because by having a girl first, the father is deprived of the mitzvah of pinyan haben, redeeming the firstborn, since his firstborn is not a male. Reb Chisda then adds that with respect to him personally, having a daughter first was to his benefit as well, not only to his son's benefit. The reason is simple, explains the Ben Yayada, because Rav Chisda was a Kayan, and a Kayan has no obligation of pidyon haben. Gemara says it's a mitzvah to support one's daughters and also one's son so they can learn Torah, although this is not a chiyuv. And finally, the avadim of a kayan can normally eat truma. That kufim beis. Rav Sheshe says a man can be mezaka, a yerusha of a child who hasn't yet been born. Rav Yochanan says he cannot. The Gemara says if a ger dies and a Jew takes over his property, and then they heard the ger has a yerush, they must return the property. But if later they hear of a son died, or the pregnant wife dies, they can take it a second time. This kinyan is good, and the first kinyan is batal. The Gemara says a child who's just one day old, kid yarshin, and can give over a yerusha as well. But an uber, an unborn child, can't do the same. Abaye says an uber can yarshin if his father dies. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Nachos Perek Aleph Halacha Yud Gimel that even a premature baby born in the 8th month of pregnancy has the ability to yarshin. The Ravid disagrees and says that only a full-term baby can inherit, but a baby born prematurely in the 8th month, which the Talmud considers incapable of surviving, does not inherit since he is destined to die shortly after he's born. The Gemara Paskins, the halacha, is that one cannot be mezaka something for an uber unless it is his son. Hamezaka lo uber loy kan. A man said to his second wife, my property should go to all future children who will eventually be born from you. Then his older son from his first marriage came and said, what about me? So he answered, you should be zeicha in this matana, an equal share, like the future children of my second wife. So it's a machlekes if the first son gets a special chelik together with his future children, i.e. the future children of the father. Daf Kuf Mem Gimel. When it comes to zucchini, the inside is bitter. So when you give a truma, you must take a sweet part to pater the remaining sweet part of the truma. But in the end, we say, HaTorim Min Hara Al HaYafa, Trumasai Truma. If a man says, my property should go to you and the children, Rabbi Yosef says, she gets one half, since the Pasuk says, V'haisel Aaron ulevanav mechza. This is one of the three cases where you paskin like Rabbi Yosef. Sada, inyan, umechza. And this is the case of mechza. If someone sends silk garments to his household, whatever is good for the boys get. Whatever is good for the girls, they get. If someone sends a matana to his son, Rav Chaviva says, he's also including his grandson, since a person calls his grandson a son as well. Mar Rabashi says, no. Since a person doesn't call his grandson a son, they're completely different. As we know, Hamudr Hana mi banim, Mutr bivnei banim. If a person swears that he won't get any Hana from his sons, he's Mutr to get Hana from his grandsons, because his grandsons are different from his sons. The Rashbam points out, however, that when one has a grandchild, he is Yaitza, the mitzvah of Piriya Verivya, just as he is Yaitza, the mitzvah of Piriya Verivya, when he has a son. So in that sense, a son and a grandson are similar. The Mishnah. If a person died leaving older and younger sons, and the older sons improve the property by investing money from the estate, the resulting profits go back to the entire family. But if they say, we're taking our chelik, and with that chelik they improve the property, they do get to keep the shvach on their own, and they don't have to give it back to the rest of the family, because they took the risk with their own property, but they took away their chelik of property, and they put it up to a risk by improving it, so they can keep all of the shvach that they get from that. Also, the same halacha would apply to a wife vis-a-vis sharing shvach with children. That as long as she's sharing it in general, and she invests it, then she has to give whatever comes out of the shvach to the children. But if it takes that chelik away for herself, and then she invests that chelik, she gets to keep all the shvach for herself. Gemara. This halacha that the brothers must share the shvach is only if they hired workers to improve the land. But if they did it themselves, then they get the shvach all for themselves. Tafkuf Mem Dalet. If someone marries off his son in a big house, and the girl he married was a pasula, we assume that he wants to give his son the house. If a man writes over all of his property to his wife, we assume he only wants her to be an apitropos, because an ansahadi, we know that he doesn't want to be oiker his children's right to Yerusha. He only lets her be the guardian so the children will respect her. But really, he means that all of them get a chelik of the Yerusha. The Mishnah. If a father died, and then one of the brothers became a tax collector for the king, any profit which is made is split by the entire family. Gemara. If several of the Yarshim were living together, drawing their support from their undivided inheritance, when one of the heirs had cause to move out on his own, the remaining Yarshim are not obligated to allow him to continue drawing his full support from the estate. The Gemara explains, as is brought in Aladaf, that the reason they could deduct from his allowance is because the more people that live together in one house, the greater the birchas habayis, and therefore they could deduct from his support in proportion to the loss that he causes them by his departure. The Rashbam and Rashi interpret birchas habayis literally, as meaning the blessing of the household. The Rashbam explains that the remaining Yarshim can claim that his presence in the house adds bracha to the household. Rashi, in Ksubas Staf Kuf Gimel Amid Aleph, explains that people who live or work together help each other out and earn more than individuals living separately. And also, says Rashi, the mazal of many people living together is greater. Tosfos cites the Rach, who explains this Gemara according to the phrase Ner Li Echad Ner Lameya, a candle for one is a candle for 100. In other words, practically speaking, it's more economical for several people to share the same house, since they all use the same lighting and heating, and their total expenses are therefore less than people living independently on their own. The Rambam says that not only is it more economical to live together in terms of lighting and heating, but it's more economical even in terms of food and other household expenses. The Rambam says that while an individual living on his own may eat one kav of food, five people living together will collectively eat only four kavim. The Gemara says everything is nigzar from Shemayim except when a person gets a cold, because a person should take care of himself and not get sick. Because if he gets sick out of negligence, he can't demand that the estate pay for it. The next Mishnah. If the father sent a son to be one of the shushvinim by a chasana. A shushvin is someone who goes to be mesameach chasan v'kala by bringing gifts. So now this chasan has to reciprocate when the shushvin, who was mesameach him with gifts, when he gets married, this chasan, who got the benefit of those gifts before, now has to reciprocate. When this chiyuv is repaid with gifts, it's a benefit for the entire family to share. The Shulchan Aruch, by the way, in Evin Ezer, Simen Samach, writes that today we don't have this minhag to do this anymore. Wedding presents are given as gifts of goodwill, not necessarily as something that anybody expects to get back. Therefore, a person cannot insist on being reciprocated for the gifts he receives at his chasana. Gemara. If erusin was done, but no nisuin ever took place, some places have the minig for the kala to return all the gifts. In other places, the minig is not to do so. Dafkuf meme. If someone has only erusin and they did not do nisuin, a besula will get 200 zuzim and a mana will get 100. The Gemara says there are five halachas regarding shushvinin. These include, it's considered a chayv and it can be collected via bezdin. The chasan only reciprocates when the one who has been mesameach, if he himself gets married. And finally, if Shemitah comes in between, the chayv still exists. If Reuven was mesameach to Shimon in a public fashion, and now Reuven wants to make a quiet chasana, and he asks Shimon to be mesameach in a quiet way, Shimon can say, I want to celebrate for you the same big way you did it for me. Gemara says everyone needs the owner of the wheat. This means that the Baal HaGemara is the most important, since he can paskin the halachas from the Mishnais. Rav Chanina says, it's difficult for someone who has a difficult wife, but he'll be a toiv lev if he has a good wife. And finally, a person should be very careful not to change his diet suddenly, because if he suddenly changes his diet, he can get sick from it.